I invite you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh, and I forgot to get a page number. Anybody has that page number, you can shout it out. So sorry about that. I'll encourage you to follow along with us in this fascinating story. This will lead us into celebrating communion. And the way that we'll do communion is that we'll come down this aisle, invite you to come down this aisle here. And so if you're seated in this over here, if you can go through the back and come down this aisle, cup your hands, and I will tear off a piece of bread and just drop it into your hands, okay? Eat it, and then take a cup of juice and drink it, and then go ahead and return to your seats. So we'll do that in a few minutes. 883. What? 883, Acts chapter 2 in the Red Pew Bibles. Let's pray before we jump in, all right? Father, you want to speak to us through your word. You want us to become more like Jesus. And so, Lord, we surrender even this time to you. As we read, as we ponder, as we think about, as we hear, Lord, we ask your Spirit to move and to change us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray personally that my words do not get in the way of your truth here today. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says this, when the day of Pentecost, now Pentecost was just a Jewish holiday that people followed. When that day came, they, the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we have lots of Jewish people coming to Jerusalem then to celebrate this festival, and then this happened, okay? It was just something that had never happened before, different, crazy, bizarre. It was so unexplainable. Luke did his best to explain the unexplainable there. Luke is the writer of Acts. Now we continue in verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, oh, they've had too much wine. They've been drinking. They're crazy. Ever have anybody tell you that? Ever have anybody tell you crazy that because of a decision you made, a spiritual or an ethical or some decision, some choice you made in life that people just like, I can't believe you're doing that. That doesn't make sense. I can still clearly recall when I was working. I was an engineer with a Naval Research Laboratory in Washington, D.C. I'd been there for about 5 years. And I remember walking into my boss's office, and I'm surrounded, you know, I've got all these smart people, engineers with PhDs that I worked with. And I remember walking into my boss's office, and I told him, I said, Fred, I said, come August, which is just a couple months away, I said, I'm going to leave NRL and I'm going to go into the seminary. And he kind of leaned back in his chair. And Fred, he was a believer, but he leaned back in his chair and he just said, "Well, that's nice." And he had this look on his face that was just like, never forget that look that was just like, "You got to be out of your mind, man. What are you doing? You're crazy. You're crazy." And so here we have in Jerusalem, crazy things going on, and someone has to explain what's going on here. So verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 disciples, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And so these people are murmuring about this phenomenon that's going on. What does this mean? What's going on here? That's a good question for us to ask here this morning. What's going on here? How do we understand this passage of Scripture today? Well, I think the first thing we want to understand is this. Number one is this, that the Holy Spirit is with you and working in your life. The Holy Spirit is with you and working in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God sends His Spirit to be inside of you. And when I read passages like this, I can't just help but think about back to my high school days and being in high school football times when the cheerleaders broke up into two sections and one of them would say, "We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you?" And the other side would say the same thing. You know, this just comes to mind. But that's the thing. We got the Spirit. We've got God's Spirit inside of us. All believers have the Spirit, not just one person. Not just the pastor of the church. Not just the worship leader. Not just that person who goes around church is all bubbly every time. And that's, they just seem so filled with the Spirit, right? Because that's sometimes what we think. And so I feel it's necessary for me to clarify here that when we come into this place, we can have good times of worship that we say, and then we can have so-so times of worship in this place, right? Because there's times we come in here and we say, Ken played my favorite song. So awesome, my favorite hymn. And it was great, and it was special, and I just feel happy, and I have that warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, that the Spirit was here, right? And we leave up, and sometimes we say, after a good worship service, we say, "Oh, the Spirit moved there today. The Spirit was there today." Why? Because I felt it. That's great. But the Spirit isn't limited to that. When you don't have that warm fuzzy, that doesn't mean that the Spirit wasn't there. Okay? Because that leads to thinking, if I don't have that, well, then the Spirit must not be in my life. I'm really sad and I'm kind of bummed out. Things aren't going well. I wish I had that again, right? And then that leads to thinking that the only time I get the Spirit is when I'm in here. Because I sing and I'm happy and, the Spirit, yes, it's great, hymns, great. And then I got to go work on Monday. And I wish I could bring the Spirit with me, right? And it's just, and then by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday you're getting a little better because it's the weekend. You know the Spirit's coming. But it's just like, where's the Spirit, right? The truth is this, the Holy Spirit is in you and working in your life. Okay, say that with me, okay? The Spirit of God is working in me. Say that. The Spirit of God is working in me. I want you to remember that. And so anytime, if the Spirit of God is working in me, anytime I see the fruits of the Spirit in my life, okay? Now, the fruits of the Spirit, put that up there, Galatians chapter 5, we know the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anytime I see those fruits of the Spirit in my life, the Spirit is working in me. Anytime, okay? Even on non-Sundays. Anytime you're doing good, the Spirit is working in me. Anytime I'm serving other people, the Spirit is working in me. Anytime I'm a peacemaker. Anytime I'm sitting down and things aren't going right, but all of a sudden I have a calm sense that things are, it's God's going to work things out. I just know God's going to work things out. Oh, the Spirit is working in me. When you're waiting in line at Walmart, and you're waiting in line in Walmart, and there's a part of you that just wants to open up and bless that person for being so slow, but you don't. And you are patient. Not only that, but you end up being really kind and gentle to them. Guess what? The Spirit is there working in you. Whenever you open up your Bible at home, and whenever you come into worship in this place, you're exhibiting faithfulness. That is the Spirit working in you. The Spirit is with you and working in your life. Don't forget that. Then in verse 11, the people were saying, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Here's the second thing that this means, is that when you see the works of the Spirit in your life, praise God. Just praise God. Every time you notice yourself kind of gaining some self-control, praise God. Every time you are patient, every time you hold your tongue, praise God, because the Spirit's working in you. Every time that you don't respond to the text with saying things that you want to unload, or you don't post that response on Facebook, praise God, because the Spirit is working in you. Every time you serve someone, every time you help someone out, every time you are kind to someone, thank God, because that is the Spirit working in your life. Now, we're not saying it, oh, you know, hey, I helped Nancy out. I'm pretty good, you know. That's not what we're saying. What I'm saying here is this. It's more like, my life is a mess. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God is in me that I can help someone else instead of just always being focused on me all the time. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. Getting my focus off of myself and serving other people. Every time something bad happens in our life and we stop and we think, God, this stinks. God, okay, I know you got this. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to continue to be faithful in you, because I know you'll work things out. I thank God because that's the Spirit of God working in my life. And I stop and praise God for that. I stop and praise God. And so what are we doing here? We're learning to live a life of gratitude, aren't we? Learning to live a life of gratitude where we're constantly talking about God. And it's okay if you turn it back to God. Like, I can do this. Wow. I used to be a jerk. I'm not as much of a jerk anymore. God is good. Praise God. Praise God. He's changing me. Then in verse 17, Peter, as he quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel, he says this, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, we're talking about prophesying here. It's not predicting the future. It's not foretelling. It's forthtelling. It is proclaiming truths about God and what God has done. That's what they're talking about here. And so then Peter explains what this means. Listen, he says, this time, everybody, all people, will proclaim God's goodness, male and female, young and old. He says, young men are going to see visions, and old men are going to dream dreams. Now, I think that's significant. When he talks about old men dreaming dreams, old men dreaming about what's going to be in the future, that's significant because a lot of the old people I know, they don't dream too much, right? Older people aren't dreaming too much because, well, there's not a whole lot of life left to dream about. Let's just be honest. We think of our good old days in the past, and so we kind of stop dreaming. We don't dream anymore. Unless God's Spirit is within you, and then God starts putting dreams of the future in you. And when I'm talking about dreaming of the future, I'm not talking about what is heaven going to be like. That's not what I'm talking about. The point of this scripture is that God is going to pour out His Spirit on all people, and crazy things are going to happen. Even old people are going to dream about their future and what God can do with them and through them. And so with the Spirit, man, it's kind of saying possibilities are endless. It's endless. And so the third thing that this means is this, is that we imagine how God might further use you to bring about His kingdom. To imagine how God might further use you to bring about His kingdom. And the key word there is to imagine. We talk about dreaming. A lot of times when older people start dreaming, we start dreaming back. Thinking about the good old days. Oh, remember when? If God would only do it like He did when I remember when I was a teenager. Oh, man, that was great. But you know what? Things change, times change, society changes, technology changes things, and God is going to do things in a different way than He did in the past. But He still is going to use His people to do them regardless of age. And so dreaming here is about possibilities, about what God might be doing with us and through us to impact His world. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You can put this up on the screen. It says this. The Apostle Paul was finishing up his prayer, and he says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, according to the Holy Spirit that is at work within us." And so this morning, I want to give you permission and encourage you to dream. How might God further use you to accomplish His purposes here on earth? He's not done. He's not done with you yet. And finally, we wrap up with number four. Then in that process, it's okay if people think you're crazy. It's okay if people think you're crazy, because we see in verse 13 that the disciples were made fun of. And when you decide to follow Jesus and His Spirit lives in you and you begin listening to the Spirit as He moves in your life, you're going to find yourself going against society. We see that in the rest of the story through the book of Acts, where the disciples are harassed and they're persecuted. They just don't seem to fit in. Remember how we went through the book of Thessalonians a couple weeks ago, right? They turned to Jesus, and what happened to them? Man, they started losing their jobs. They were on the outside. They didn't fit in. Followers of Jesus just don't blend in well with the rest of society. If you feel like you are blending in well, if you live by a Jesus ethics in your workplace, soon enough, people are going to begin to question you and the way that you're doing business. Hey, you can't do that. This is what you need to do in order for us to make a profit. People are going to start thinking you're odd when you're not just involved in all the fun activities that you could possibly be involved in. And even if your parents and you have kids, if you don't have your kids involved in every activity, you know, what's wrong with you? Look, instead, sometimes followers of Jesus learn to just, you know what, it's more important to serve and to give and to just sit back and rest. Sometimes people were questioning you, I know you've got some money, why come you're not taking big trips like we are? Well, maybe it's because you chose to give to the ministry of the church and ministry of the kingdom. It's okay. It's okay to not blend in. It's okay if people think you're crazy. And so we come to the table this morning, and as followers of Jesus Christ and as his family, the Holy Spirit resides in us. And he's working with us, working in us, making us become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And so as we come to the table during this time of reflection, I want you to think of two things. Number one is I want you to give praise to God for the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's what I want you to think about. I want you to give praise to God for the Holy Spirit working in your life. The second thing I want you to think about is this. What kingdom dream might the Holy Spirit have for you? It might be different than what you've ever done before. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for you sending the Holy Spirit upon each one of us, followers of you. Father, we thank you that you are doing a good work in us, changing us to become the best human being like you created us to be. Father, we pray that you would use us to grow your kingdom. May we become dreamers. May we understand the plan that you have for us. And we pray that you would give us courage and strength to follow it out. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.